Hey, this is Fish and Frank, Radio Fishing. We got Captain Dwayne French on the line, Real Action Charters. So what's been going on, buddy?
All just trying to play with the wind a little bit. Starting to get a little chilly in the mornings, makes it a little cold for us southern boys. But other than that, fishing's been pretty good.
Well, you went out, you took a group from the store out the other day. From what I heard, you took Kale and Barb and some of the other ones. What happened out
there? Yeah, we did. That was over the weekend. Caught a mess of fish. Groupers seem to be moving a little bit more westbound on the red grouper, and the gags are moving eastbound right now with these fronts we're getting. But
so the gags moving in closer to shore, huh?
Yes, sir. The gags are moving in closer, and the reds are seeming that water temperature in these fronts. They seem to be wanting to go a little further westbound. So,
what's that mean for the fishing?
Fishing's still good. You just have to change your tactics a little bit. You know, if you're looking for the quality red grouper, you need to run on out and fish that 70-plus foot of water right now. And then the gags, you're going to catch a few reds inbound. But your gags, we're catching those sometimes as close as 8 miles offshore. Some pretty nice fish we're having to put back. So
I was going to say, gags are out of season in the Gulf right now, though, right?
Yes, sir. Gags are closed. We can only possess the red grouper. But they're still fun to catch and get good photographs and put them back, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they put up a great battle. I mean, they really fight pretty good. So
they fight way better than a red.
What's up with the grunts, triggerfish, hog snapper, lane snappers, any of that stuff doing pretty good?
Actually, the lane snapper, mangrove snapper, the porgies, the grunts, those right there are actually your lifesavers. I mean, right now we can still pretty much limit out on our snapper count on a daily basis. And that's a mixture of our lanes and our mangroves and our vermilions.
Now, I actually prefer that over grouper for as far as table fare. Now, I don't know, a lot of people are kind of hung up on the grouper, but every fish has its own little tiny differences in flavor. What's your, you got a favorite one out there?
I really like them lane snapper, to be honest with you, but some people, they get here and they think, oh, grouper, 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 but they've heard all their life. So we don't tell all of them their secrets, you know.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I think if you were talking to most people who live up north and actually haven't eaten the variety of fish out of the Gulf, that the grouper would be the thing that they're actually trying to find. But for like me and my family, when we go out, we're looking for the grunts. To me, that's where the best eating is.
I know for a fact your dad will trade 2 grouper for 1 grunt any day of the week. So,
oh yeah, he was famous back a while back on the guys all used to want him to come out on the headboats because he'd sit there and he'd start waylaying in a bunch of fish and make the boat look real good, and he'd catch himself a bunch, then he'd sit there and help the other people catch them. But that he was big into that for a long time.
Yes, sir. No, he still enjoys them grunts, so. And I can't take it away from him. I mean, them porgies to me is better than the grunts, personally, and I tell people till they see me clean them on the cleaning table, then they understand.
Well, okay, what's the difference? You there, D? Did I lose you? Dwayne? You there?
Yeah, we had a little slight disconnection there, this wonderful cell world we all live in.
Okay. So anyway, what's the difference between the porgies and the grunts and stuff? You say when you get them on the table, you can see a difference. What's, you know, enlighten me.
Well, them porgies will usually be a lot wider, more of a firmer meat. You know, a grunt still has a little tinge of red to it, and you clean off a porgy and it's almost crystal white, almost looks like a flounder fillet almost, you know. But as far as table fare, I think one's as good as the other, to be honest with you, as far as table fare.
But now I think what we're doing is boiling it down to, are you a person who likes peanut butter, or do you like chocolate, or you like strawberry? You're talking about flavor issues, not quality issues, just flavor issues.
Right. Well, quality kind of comes in the same boat program. I mean, your grunts and your porgies, you know, they're all going to be somewhere around the pound range or so. Actually, we had some real nice grunts over the weekend in the 3 pound range. So,
well, quality to me is more about size. I mean, the edibility of the fish, they're all beautiful, I mean, you know, wonderful to eat type fish. But quality would, in your estimation, comes more into size. You can get a little better size off those fish.
Yes, yes. And that's why we make that little longer run during our day trips than some people, just because we can get to a better quality fish. Like I was saying in the beginning, you know, now we're going to have to start pushing the limits a little further to get on the quality red grouper like we've been catching a little bit closer. So...
So basically, you're talking about warning out for quality. You're looking for bigger, stronger pulling, heavier fish to get back in to do that with.
Yes, sir. I mean, there's plenty of small red grouper in close. You know, a lot of them, you're going to weed through a lot of 19 and 7/8, 19 and a half, just 20 inches, you know, and I try to tell the customers, be careful on their own boat, you know. You catch 20-inch grouper, put them in the cooler, they're going to shrink, and if the man's checking you at the boat ramp, you might get in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting there and you got 19 and three-quarter-inch fish and the minimum's 20, you're pretty much going to get in trouble.
That's exactly right, you know, and some people are they don't understand just because it was 20 when you caught it, even though then you put it in that ice, it shrinks an eighth to a quarter, and... You've got numbers like that, I can promise you he's not going to be happy with you.
Yeah, you might be able to squeak by because most of them are actually pretty nice fellows, but I'm not sure you really could get away without a ticket on that because that he's going to be saying, well, it doesn't matter what it was, you just measured wrong.
Right, right.
So, but anyway, what's the best bait out there right now?
We're still using them natural squid wings. I mean, that seems to be good bait right now. A lot. I mean, some of our bigger fish we're catching on squirrel fish.
Now, how do you get the squirrel fish?
We actually catch them ourselves. Warren and I will actually catch bait. There's always bait usually on the boat when we leave the dock. I don't like to spend a half hour, 45 minutes with customers catching bait unless I absolutely have to. We can usually pull up around that 40-foot water depth in a couple areas. We can catch some squirrel fish and some...
Now, are you jigging for them or just sticking bait down, or what happens to get into those?
We normally like to use a Zabiki rig, and we'll tip it with some of that natural squid wing again. We'll cut little pieces and put on our Zabiki rigs, and it seems to work well for us. I mean, everybody has their own method, but...
Now, one of the things, folks, when you're listening, Dwayne keeps referring to natural squid bait. Well, all squid are natural. The only difference is when you buy the stuff in the box and it's got a food label on there, that means it's been washed and processed. It's had soap and water on it. Now, the squid wings and a lot of the squid, we're finding more and more availability of unwashed squid. And it's never had soap and water. We've actually had people bring it back going, this stuff's rotten. No, it actually just smells like unwashed, nasty old, pulled out of the, take it out of the water, throw it in a package, squid. That's what the fish want. That soap and water stuff doesn't work as well as what Dwayne refers to as natural or never been processed squid. I mean, that stuff really, it's stinky, it's nasty, it's horrible. Everything a fish loves.
Well, you know what they say, if it smells like fish, it's a dish, man, so you might as well use what they want.
I like that, Dave. Believe it or not, I didn't remember that one. That was nice. If it smells like fish, it's a dish. You got it, buddy.
So, but...
Maybe I was just luckier in school. I don't know. But anyway, coming back to the real world here, quickly, get me out of that. Offshore boat, you doing any inshore trips?
We have done a few, not much, Frank. I've been passing a lot of them off. The big boat's been busy. And with the new customers getting on board, I really need to be on board.
Oh, yeah. So, there's nothing like taking care of business yourself, you know.
And I enjoy the big boat a little bit better sometimes, especially when it's a little windy.
Oh, that big boat of yours is gorgeous. I mean, that big Hatteras is just wonderful in the wind and the waves. And a couple of people who have been out on it said, yeah, it got rough, and I thought I was going to be all sick. And he said, nope, never got sick. Didn't have a problem all day. So you picked the right hull. I got to tell you, that was a good pick, because some boats roll too much, and yours seems to set down in it and hold position pretty good. I've had a lot of feedback off of the boat so far. You did good,
that's
buddy.
That's good to hear, man. No, when you anchor, she lays down flat no matter how rough it is out there, but you're talking 40,000 pounds, so it takes a lot to roll it around.
Well, a lot of it's the hull. If you get the right year on those boats, because they tend to play with the hull a little bit, and if it's got the right keel, she'll stick good.
Yes.
We had one, and it had we ended up getting rid of it right away. It was a beautiful boat. The layout was great. The interior, the exterior, everything about it was great. But boy, as soon as you cut a side, anything coming out of the side, and this was a number of years ago, and it was one of the reasons I spent a lot of time learning about hulls, so I'd never buy the wrong boat again. And it was a real nightmare. Even though the boat was gorgeous above, the bottom just was yuck. You know,
I hear you.
We were at the Charlotte County Boat Show, and we're looking at, a friend of mine was looking at a hull, and it was funny. I was about 60 feet away, and I said, boy, look at that one. I said, I'll bet you that's really expensive. I said, that's the most expensive piece of junk you'll ever buy. He was looking at me going, what? And it was a boat he was interested in. I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm just going by the hull. I said, I hadn't seen the inside. The inside, probably beautiful, but if the bottom ain't right, the boat ain't good.
No, sir, you got that right.
So, anyway, coming back around, any good advice for people going out to fish the power poles, Henry or Helens or Novak Tremblay? Any good advice for that?
Honestly, if they're going to do it in between these fronts, Frank, best piece of information I can give them is watch the weather well, pay attention to the wind. I mean, even though you think you're only going a few miles offshore, you get some of this north-northwest wind we've been getting, it's still going to be bumpy. Use your squid, your cut sardines, and just be patient, and you're going to catch fish.
Yeah. Now, I have one guy who's developed a trick, and he uses 1 to 2 lures at a time, and he's trolling in a big circle around a couple of the reefs. You know, if you got too many lures, it'll just be a tangled up mess. But he's making a big circle, trolling around and around the perimeter of the reef. And according to him, it's probably a half a mile circle. And he's slow trolling, and he's got a stretch 30 down. And on the top, he's using a 14 bomber or like a storm twitch, something small up by the top. But he's got the big lure down the bottom, either a 20, 25, or a 30. Foot runner, something big, and then up above that he's using a little lure, and he's just going round and round, and he's been just tearing the fish up with it. He says he's having a ball, and he says the scenery's a little redundant, but he says, man, I'm catching the heck out of fish. And it makes sense, because you always troll from one reef to the next.
Right.
So why not just hit them as they're coming and going off the reefs?
Well, I mean, the trolling's going to even get better as the spring approaches, too. I mean, I tell customers on a daily basis, you know, our trolling is best during our spring, summer, and our early fall. Wintertime, our trolling does slow down a little bit as far as numbers that you're going to catch, only because of water temperature. So, everything, their metabolism slows down, just like you and I. It gets cold, we're lazy.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about that. I can tell you, I didn't move fast at all this morning. Not even a little bit.
Tomorrow morning's even going to be colder, so.
Yeah, I was just looking.
And I can tell you, cold is real cold when you're in that fly bridge rolling across the Gulf. It's
now,
cold.
I have heard stories of your fly bridge, and it that is exactly the truth. Right now, you got 66.2 degrees water temperature in St. Pete. Naples is 72.3, and Key West is 70.5. Now, Naples always runs a little bit warm because you got an eddy that happens there. But Key West is down to 70 degrees. That's
true.
That's chilly. So,
yes, sir.
I think that's why if you figure we're probably between St. Pete at 66 and Key West at 70, we'd be right in the middle of those two somewhere, you know, 68, somewhere, I would say.
And it will change depending on how far you go offshore right now, Frank. I talked to one of the local private captains other few days ago, and I mean, he's running out to the ledge, but out there he was finding 73, 74 foot of water. I mean, temperature on water, you know, so... and then inside, we're around 67, 68, you know, in closer. So,
yeah.
You probably get some of that tail off of that Gulf Stream that kicked inbound a little bit this time of year, too, as well, out there.
Yeah, it's always crazy how everything works like that. You know, if you can travel even in the harbor right now, depending on the angle of the sun and everything else, you can be 5 degrees difference one side to the other. So you really got to pay attention to what's going on. The cooler it is, the slower you fish. But 68 to 72 prime temperature for king mackerel, and we should be just about there. I haven't heard much stories of kings, but I think that's the weather, not the fish.
I've only had one in almost 2 months, and it wasn't giant. It was about 26 pounds. It's the only kingfish we've caught in almost 2 months.
Doing anything in amberjack?
No, we haven't really been targeting amberjack. Everybody's been wanting to fill the freezers up. Seems like that's what most of them want on our boat, fill the freezer up.
Well, I can honestly say if I was going to put one in, I'd definitely put an amberjack in just to round out the flavor fest.
Right.
They don't have a good reputation for being a great eating fish, but boy, seasoned upright, they're tasty, real tasty.
Catching quite a few of the lesser amberjacks, you know, on a pretty regular basis, but we haven't really been wreck fishing for amberjack. We fish a lot of hard bottom, and
yeah, you got to get them if they come by.
For our grouper, right? I mean, it's kind of a different entity, and I mean, some people, if they do their homework, they'll understand how we're explaining this, but.
We'll work on getting all that to them.
Is a different entity. If you're going strictly for gags, you'd fish totally different than you would if you were fishing for red grouper as well. They kind of hang on different structure.
Yeah, gag grouper don't want to be on the structure. They want to be out away from it, looking at it. Red grouper want to be hiding in it. There's a whole bunch of different things, but I know you're busy. You're trying to get your boats prepped today, but just looking to see if we could catch up a little bit on what's going on offshore. But in your estimation, if we can get a little break in the wind, the nearshore reefs, you should have a real good chance on some snappers, grunts, a good dinner menu, and then... In the last few days, I've had about 3 reports of cobia right around some of those nearshore reefs, so another good bet to watch for.
That's very true, very true. And like I say, when we get these winds, those nearshore wrecks and reefs out there are actually, they're pretty flat until you get out about 8 miles, and you'll start picking up some of that wind coming across land. But if you stay inside of that, you can actually have a good day on these light 5 to 10 mile an hour wind days.
Oh, yeah, but the only thing is, it's like you say, keep your eye on the wind. If it starts switching around towards the north or northwest, it's going to get real lumpy real quick because it's all open from everywhere to us at that point.
Yes, sir. You're right in the middle of the eye at that point. So
anyway, any last words of advice?
Nope, just everybody enjoy this wonderful weather we're having, and keep your lines tight and give us a call if you need something. We'll be more than happy to accommodate it. And
what's your phone number, D?
Check us out at 941-628-2348, or you can search us on the World Wide Web at sportfishingplacida.com.
So if you click the picture of the big old boat right next to this interview, it'll take you right to Dwayne's website. And thank you much, buddy. This is Fish and Frank on another Radio Fishing.